1 o'clock hour, Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, and Derek Mason. We'll get you the winner for Ask D-Mace because we got a lot to wade through. A lot of good questions coming in. But right now we say hello to TSU head football coach Eddie George, who's on the line with us. Coach, how you doing?
I am doing outstanding. How you guys doing today?
We're doing fantastic. So right before you come on, we do a segment with Derek where we let everybody ask him questions, and it can be about football, about life, I mean, all sorts of things. But it kind of transitioned into one that somebody asked him who his favorite teammate was. Naturally, he said Eddie George, which, you know, was right.
right on cue.
he said, no, that was a hard question for him to answer because he played with so many. So I asked him the same thing I'm going to ask you. Who was someone that taught you something that you will never forget, whether it applied to football or life?
Wow, man. A teammate or just in general?
A teammate.
I would say my rookie year, there were two, actually. Mel Gray, who was like an older returner that we acquired from the Detroit Lions, and Ronnie Harmon. They both kind of took me under their wing and, you know, talked to me about just about being a professional in the league and how to take care of my body, take care of my finances, things to think about, you know, just to be independent. And they were in the league maybe, you know, Ronnie was in the league at around that time, about, I think, 13 years, another 12-year career with Mel Gray. And, you know, just being up under those guys in terms of how to work and how to handle myself off the field was beneficial for me. So it was two of them, Ronnie Harmon and Mel Gray.
Very, very cool. So looking at your football team, you get your first win against Bethune-Cookman, and then you turn around and start OVC play at Tennessee Tech and get your second win. But to be 1-0 in the conference, what's the confidence been like for your club this week now that you've won two in a row?
Well, you know, winning breeds confidence. And that's kind of how we feel around here, is that, you know, we're seeing the hard work pay off for us. You know, we went through a lot, suffered some tough losses in September, and we found out a lot about ourselves in terms of how we handle adversity, and we had to work through that. And to have two wins under our belt right now, 1-0 in the conference, is a tremendous booster for us, but by any means we have not arrived. We feel like our best football is ahead of us, and we can continue to grow toward being a dominant team. That's what our goal is, to be a dominant football team in all three phases. And we're starting to show glimpses of that here and there. We're still inconsistent in a lot of different areas. But the fact that we're now seeing that, hey, this works. You know, what we're coaching is working. What we're saying is working. And they're starting to breed off some wins. And guys are starting to really believe and take ownership of it. So it's really exciting to see that.
Now, Coach, your team, you understand from a defensive standpoint that the most important down, or offensive standpoint, the most important down is third down, because you get to extend your drive. But your defense held Tennessee Tech to 4-14. You had to be proud of your defense for that stat.
Yes, Derek. You know, coming into the game, Tennessee Tech was the top 40 offense in the country. They were putting up points. They were able to move the ball in a balanced way, you know, in the air and on the ground. You look at the previous opponents. So to hold that team to, I guess we should have established, like 4-for-14 or something like that on third downs was big for us. We had to win on first and second down. And we sustained that for roughly three quarters, but then, you know, you get a little complacent, you get comfortable in the fourth quarter, and we gave up some bigger runs, and we almost found ourselves in another dogfight toward the tail end, because, you know, we were lapsing in concentration and focus, and, you know, you hold on to a lead, you tend to get comfortable, but that's not a mark of a killer instinct team. So I'm excited to see us play that way, certainly when it counted, but we've had to learn to finish on a lot of those drives and get off the field under those circumstances.
And, Coach, I know that, you know, toward the end of that game, you want to go into the game and you want to finish the game on a good note and whatnot. But sometimes, you know, finishing a game and playing that perfect game that you want to play, sometimes – players look at it and say, we don't need to do anything else to get better. We're there. But for you to point out, you know, as a head coach, listen, we were controlling that game, but toward the end now, because of our complacency, we allowed them to sort of feel as if they can get back into the game. Is that what you've been preaching to them this week heading into the Eastern Illinois game?
Yes, that's exactly what I've been preaching this week is, you know, which team is going to show up. You know, when we play complementary football, when we trust each other, when we are disciplined and we're doing things the right way, we're doing our job, good things happen for us. It's when we do things that are selfish, we tend to fall back into some old habits that no longer serve us, and that's where we kind of get in trouble. And my point is this, you know, there'll come a time when you have got to close the coffin on one of these teams, and if you continue to play that way, a team of note will come back and win, and that's a part of it. So it's not about, you know, taking your foot up the gas pedal and enjoying, you know, the scenes and sights and hanging out with your friends and dancing on the sideline. Nah, you know, we're in this thing and we're looking to make a statement until the clock hits zero, and if we win, you know, we'll celebrate, but there's always something you can extract from a win and a loss as a teaching point in terms of excellence and playing championship football, and that's the difference. It's not just winning the game; it's how you close the game, it's how you approach your work, it's how you finish. Because it's tough to go through losses, Derek, and you know this, but it's also tough for teams to handle success. And we haven't had a lot of that. We won two ball games. So we've got to learn how to handle success and continue to build and grow through our wins as well.
Talking to Eddie George. And Eddie, Eastern Illinois has got a really interesting history. Of course, a lot of people can remember Tony Romo, but that's a program that's had success over the years. Late Mike Heimerdinger, an Eastern Illinois alum. Just a little note there for some people. But give us this year's version of Eastern Illinois. What's the matchup look like?
Well, it's under new head coach Chris Wilkerson. He's done a phenomenal job of steering the ship in the right direction for Eastern Illinois. They're scoring a lot more points than they have since last year. Even in their losses, it's close. They played Northern Illinois earlier this year, and it was a 27-34 loss. They scored another 20 points against Chattanooga. They beat Murray State. They beat Northwestern. They went into overtime against Lindenwood, scoring another 34 points. And this is a team that's teetering on success. I mean, they're a lot like we were. They're built for toughness. They have a lot of Chicago kids or Illinois kids on their roster, and that's that Midwestern toughness that we're expecting to see. Philosophically speaking, they run the ball. I mean, that's what they do. And they have two quarterbacks that they rely on, two solid quarterbacks. One's more of a thrower, the other one's more of a runner. And it's tough to get off the field. I mean, because they rely on a tough-nosed, smash-mouth, run-arm offense. And defensively, they're solid across the board. They have an outstanding pass rusher and a stopper, a defensive plug in terms of the three technique that does a good job of being disruptive in the run and the pass. And it's going to take for us to play a clean game and not turn the ball over and to manufacture our runs in terms of staying ahead of the chains and trying to win the time of possession. So that's kind of how they're built, similar to what we're trying to do here. And they're a very dangerous football team. They're also 1-0 in the conference.
Eddie, before we let you go, just an overall observation of the NFL, just your thoughts. So many of these games are so close. I think I saw a stat, I was watching the Broncos Monday night, like every one of their games has been within 3 points in the fourth quarter. The last three Titans wins, all very tight, go right down to the last possession. When you know the game's going to be like that in this league, it's all set up with the parity. How do you think about just trying to do all of the little things, all those details that can be the difference when you know the game's going to be so tight?
Yeah, you're right. I read somewhere where Ed Reed was talking about that, you know, doing all the little things right. And not on the football field, because you can't compartmentalize your behavior. Who you are on the field is who you are off the field. And that's even in the locker room. And he talked about how, you know, keeping the locker room clean and not relying on anybody else to do it. He says the trash can is 2 feet away from where you cut your tape off, you know, or where the towels are. So it's all those little things that make a difference in your approach in everyday life. It may seem like for somebody on the outside looking in, like, oh, that's a bunch of, you know, BS and doesn't anything, but it does in terms of your preparation. How often are you watching film? How much study film study are you doing on a daily basis? Your extra recovery time, your extra sleep, and not drinking alcohol. I mean, all of those things compound and add up to a winning culture. So yes, you're seeing that right now, but it's all the things you don't see, you know, Monday through Sunday that people don't account for where it adds up. Those little things matter in terms of the culture you're trying to build and how you're operating on a day-to-day basis for you personally speaking too.
He's Eddie George, the head coach at TSU. Appreciate the time as always, Eddie. Good luck against Eastern Illinois this week, and also we'll see you Monday night at 6 in Peabody for the Eddie George Show at 6. Going to be fun.
Outstanding. Can't wait to see you guys.
Absolutely. All right, thanks. Eddie George
thanks, coach.
Joins us every Friday at 1 o'clock here on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. Always enjoy that. And again, you can hear coverage of TSU and Eastern Illinois starting at 1:30 on 94.9 The Fan on Saturday. Your home for TSU football. Coming up next, we'll look at some college football for this week and how the Vols can continue their momentum as they play UT Martin. We'll do that coming up next. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. But can you beat Vegas this football season? Superbook Sports gives you the chance every week to go head-to-head with the best odds makers in Las Vegas. No fancy computer algorithms, no guys across the pond setting the lines, just the best team of odds makers in the business behind the counter at the Superbook in Las Vegas. Plus, Superbook features some of the best odds boosts and promo bets anywhere. So download the Superbook Sports app or visit superbook.com and you can start your battle against Vegas right now. I like some underdogs tomorrow in college football. I think Ole Miss is a good one to look at. Oklahoma State against Texas is another one. You can get it all right there on the Superbook Sports app. Just download it and go and make your bets. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Join Michelle Knezovic this Saturday at the Party Foul in Cool Springs. This is old school. I like this. For the SEC Game of the Week presented by BettingHero.com. They're going to help you enjoy your experience betting on mobile and maybe even buy you a beer. The fun starts at 2:30 this Saturday as LSU takes on Ole Miss. Petey Pablo, right? Yeah, I like that. That's good stuff. Speaking of LSU, I don't know if you guys have seen Brian Kelly's comments. No, he's not talking about his family. He is saying, and he's doubled down, he said this after they beat Florida, and then he said it on his radio show Thursday night, that instant replay is ruining the game in college football. And I don't know if I'm going to go that far, but it does seem like, you know, it's like every other play, they're stopping to review. He says, after at least five instances when play was stopped for review during Saturday's victory over Florida, Kelly on Monday said that his biggest concern was that it was just slowing the game down. Okay, I can agree with that. After a few more days, he doubled down. Quote, 10 out of 10 times the call stands on the field. Unless it's an LSU call, right? Kelly said on his weekly radio show. Or is it just me? I just don't think they like the guy from up north. That's what he said.
Come on, man. Give me a break. That's why nobody likes Brian Kelly. His sense of humor is always off. Mm. You notice that? Remember the whole thing? What did he say? The couple times after, remember that one time after the game, he said something real.
He was quoting.
He was trying
somebody.
To be funny.
Yeah.
And it was just so off. That's a great example.
After they beat
right
Florida
there.
State last year at Notre Dame, that's what it was. Yeah. It was the post-game interview. Yeah. I can't remember what he said,
but he got himself in trouble because he was trying to make a joke and he had to come back.
It was something that had been referencing something that had been said. But no, I hear you.
He's like the least likable guy that you can have. But look, the biggest problem with college football right now is the pace of play. I love college football. I do not enjoy watching a game that goes – and look, I love baseball too. Baseball's got the same problem, pace of play. Now, they're going to address it next year. Baseball's got the clock, and they're overdue to do it, and I think it's going to help a lot. And people who want to whine and complain that, hey, I can't step out of the box and stuff, deal with it, all right? The game's taking too long. We got to pick it up, got to pick up the action. College football's got to face the facts here. I know college football is very popular.
Mm-hmm.
These games take too long, man. They're dragging.
So
there's things you can do about it.
Yeah, okay.
If you're going to have replay, then we got to balance it out by something else. Something else has to shorten the game.
He said his players should be executed. That's what it was. Thank you, Carolyn.
Oh, that's
remember
right.
Remember that?
That's right.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah. He was trying to make a joke. Yeah. That's an old John McKay line.
Yeah.
You know, Coach, what about your team's execution? This is when the Buccaneers were losing the first 25 or 26 games they ever played. Coach, what do you think about your team's execution? I'm for it. That was the joke by John McCain.
Yeah.
And he had the timing, the wittiness to do it. He timed it perfect.
Because you think about it, you're like, oh.
Brian Kelly was, I'm sure, thinking about that, but he can't deliver the line, and he gets himself in trouble. He's not a comedian.
Here's the rule in college football that I like and I don't like all at the same time.
Okay.
When you get a first down, they stop the clock to set the ball. I like it in the sense of why they do it, because – they're looking at it as we shouldn't rob you of time to do our job as an official. But at the same time, you're slowing the game down. Now, it's not by a lot. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, they put that in place because didn't they used to do it on every play? Didn't they used to stop it on every play?
Supposedly, every play was under review. That was the...
No, that's not what I mean. I mean, like, you're talking about pace of play. If you get a first down, they stop the clock, set the ball, and then the clock starts back. That's what I'm talking about. That you're talking because you brought up pace of play. Didn't it used to be that it was every play? If the clock was running, they would.
If I remember correctly, college football used to be very strict with the. If it's an incomplete pass, the clock does not restart. If you go out of bounds, like you were saying.
Yeah.
I think they made an adjustment to the clock several years ago, but whatever they did, it's not enough, especially with the number of plays are being run. The issue to me is you got these teams that run high tempo like Tennessee, and so you run more plays. More plays mean more incomplete passes. They mean more players going out of bounds. There's more stoppages, and so instead of grinding the clock and trying to keep the clock moving, you're having this high tempo game where the clock is stopping all the time, and so the game is taking longer.
Well, now it only stops, and this is even though I love college football, this tells you I really don't pay attention to the clock during the first quarter, second quarter, and third quarter, because I only notice it in the fourth quarter when they get a first down and it stops. So, do they stop it like throughout the game, or does it only happen?
It's a first down, like when you
just every first down is stopping the clock. They should take it away. It should be only in the fourth quarter or the last X minutes of the game.
But I mean, like if you're cheering for your team, and let's say Michigan State's down by a touchdown and they're driving and they're under 2 minutes, it didn't have no timeouts. You know, there is a strategy involved. If you get a first down, you know the clock's going to stop. So you can rush up to the line and spike it or run another play.
It makes the two-minute drill at the end of the game a lot different.
I don't mind that. But it shouldn't be outside of, say, the last quarter.
Or maybe 6 minutes
or of the quarter.
Six minutes of each half, something like that. You could adjust that.
I wouldn't even want that. I would just make it the last 6 minutes of the game or the last 8 minutes of the game where the clock stops on the first down. Because then now you add up all those times where they're stopping the clock. You do speed up the game overall.
Yep. But that's how the NFL, for TV window purposes, takes measures to make sure that the game ends around 3 hours.
Yep.
Right? Oh, yeah. Maybe a few minutes over, but if it gets too far over, they're like, okay, what do we do? I would like to see college football do that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. Halftime is way longer in college football, right? Because the bands need to perform and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But
Yeah, but look, I Brian Kelly needs to sit down.
It's hard for somebody who loves college football to worry about it because when your team's playing, you don't care if the game lasts 4 hours. It's your team.
Yeah.
And you love college football down here. You eat it up. But for the casual fans, the more casual it is, the more like, why? Man, didn't this game start at 1 o'clock? It's 5 o'clock and they're still playing.
It's still, it's not over yet. Come on now. Yeah, but I would like to see
that. How long did the Tennessee-Alabama game last? It was an epic game, and we weren't worried about it.
I didn't care.
But it took a long time.
It could have went on all night.
Here's my reference point. Game starts at 2:30 on CBS. I was getting ready to go on the air for the 6:30 pregame show.
It still was going on?
And it was right at the end of the game. So it was a four-hour game.
Oh, wow.
And it did not go to overtime.
But that's with timeouts, stoppage of the clocks.
Yeah, high-paced game.
High-paced game.
High-possession game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just, there's no reason that you should have to have a four-hour game.
Right. But I agree. So as I'm being corrected here, and I'm looking up the rule that I guess it's under 2 minutes that they do that with the first down. I thought it was a whole game.
I didn't know whether. See that, and I said before I said
shows
that.
I
that tells you how much I pay attention to the clock during the game. Like how many times?
Right, we're not paying attention
when there's 11 minutes
left in the quarter.
Exactly, and I'm not paying attention if they get a first down, it stops and then starts back up. You know, I thought it only happened in the fourth quarter, but I guess it only happens in the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter, or the last 2 minutes of every quarter.
It's the 2 minutes and a half.
Last two minutes and a half. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I can see that going into halftime and then the end of the game. Okay, I get it. I get that.
I guess the point is, though, there are probably some ways you can manipulate the clock to keep it running a little more often to ensure that the game ends up closer to 3 hours than 4 hours.
Should college football just basically take their rules and run NFL rules? Because, you know, there are some there are a couple that are, you know, you can have 1 foot in bounds instead of two, which
I
kind of think it should be one way or the other.
I think it should be, if you fall on the ground by yourself, you should be able to get up and keep going.
Okay.
I think two feet should consist of inbounds, not just one.
Yep, I agree.
What else?
Pass interference. It's a spot foul in the NFL, and then
I see college football. I don't like that. I like the 15. I don't like the spot foul in college football because the level of competition every week.
Yeah.
Isn't, you know, up to, you know, it's not, it's always unequal. A lot of times it's always unequal. So you're going to get some really good teams just throwing the ball up there and they grabbing folks. And now you got a 30, a 40 yard play and that just takes away everything. So, but the college football, they make their rules not for guys that are going into the NFL. They make their rules so the game can be fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
And exciting.
Coming up next, we'll have our trivia question plus my tailor-made picks. You don't want to miss that as well. 615-737-1025 for trivia. But first, Willie has a word about Lee Company.
Let's talk Lee Company. 615-567-1000. I'll try not to laugh with the not top 10 going on right now. Did you see that fast right there? Oh, boy. There we go. Good football.
That's going to leave a mark.
A good folly from the Grizzlies game last night. Freeze that, Derek. I want to watch this. We'll have to go back and watch it during the break. But let me tell you about Lee Company, big sponsor, Nashville Predators hockey. Tomorrow night is the first Saturday night in Smashville. The Predators will try to rebound after a couple of very tough losses so far this week. They'll be playing the Philadelphia Flyers, and when you come down to Smashville, you'll see the Lee Company display all around. Also, they sponsor our pregame show, hosted by Max Hurst. That will be tomorrow night at 6 o'clock here on 102.5 The Game. Lee Company also wants to make sure your heating unit is ready to go for the cold months. 615-567-1000. Call for the checkup or go to leecompany.com. And while you're at it, ask about the home maintenance plan. And general maintenance, that means doors, floors, windows, whatever the problem might be at home or at work, they're ready to serve you with that as well. 615-567-1000. Or go to leecompany.com.
Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Our college football game of the week is Ole Miss taking on LSU on 102.5 The Game. You can hear it starting at 2:30. It's presented by Twin Peaks, home of the 29-degree draft, and wall-to-wall sports and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Ah, Duke of Earl. What a good one. Always good to bring us back. All right. It is time for my tailor-made picks. And I told you when we started the show, guys, that I've been excited about this because I'm feeling the momentum, feeling better. I started off 0-9, Willie. It wasn't good.
And I would like to remind you that D-Mace and I gave you a pep talk when you were 0-9.
You did.
And we said we need more.
We needed it.
So
we're going to have to bench you, man.
Yeah. We're going to either axe the segment altogether or turn it over to the rookie, Nick Kieser. And you responded.
What the hell is he going to do?
I'm offended.
We're just trying to put a little fear in you. That's all.
But I feel like D-Mace and I should be given like motivational coaching award of the month because you have bounced back very strong. And the picks reflect that.
Thank you very much.
8-3-1 since the 0-9 start.
Yes. So 8-12-1.
But don't get the big head because poison is out there.
Rat poison.
Nope. Rat poison not out there. It. Everybody tell hey, Pat. Patting you on the back. Taylor made picks,
poison.
Man. I got your stone cold lock. I took it to the books, man. It's working. Yeah. I took it to Superbook.
It's good. No.
That's it. I like it. Laser focus.
Laser
Stay focused.
Focused. Laser focus.
Coach what you Willie got for us, Chase?
His talk. Talk to me. All right. Again, I get all the odds from Superbook Sports. Mm-hmm. So download that app today. This is what we got. All three of these picks are from college football. I didn't like the NFL board as much this week. I really liked it last week. Don't like it as much this week. Really like the college football board this week. So that's where I'm going. First pick, Penn State coming off a loss last week to Michigan. They are laying the 4.5 against Minnesota. I think Penn State rows the boat. Give me Jimmy Frank and the Nittany Lions minus the 4.5.
Against the Gophers.
Against the Gophers.
All right, some Big Ten action. And that game is where?
That is in Happy Valley. It's Penn State.
Okay. We'll see if Jimmy Franks can go 1-0 this week.
Yeah, as he likes to do. Next, in my Pirates that are listening, Chris Johnson, maybe you're one of them, East Carolina is getting 5 at home against UCF. And as Rick Merritt likes to say, home dogs bark louder. Give me the Pirates plus the 5.
Ooh. All right.
What do you think of that one?
I like that.
You like that
one? I like that, Chase.
All right.
I like that.
And finally, my lock of the week. It's the game that I just talked about that you can hear right here on 102.5 The Game starting at 2:30. Stone Cold Lock. Ole Miss plus 2 against LSU. I like Ole Miss on the road at LSU.
Mm.
Stone cold lock.
This is a big game for Ole Miss.
Oh, huge. Yeah. LSU coming off a big win against Florida. Ole Miss has been rolling as of late. You know, there's talks of, could they get to Alabama? Could they beat Alabama? We're going to find out.
We'll see.
So, to review, for those of you watching on our stream, I like Penn State minus 4.5 against Minnesota. I like East Carolina plus 5 against UCF. And my stone cold lock, Ole Miss plus 2 against LSU.
I like those.
The TaylorMade picks this week, again,
stone
from
cold
Superbook
lock
Sports. Stone cold.
Can stone Chase cold keep it going? Can the people start trusting Chase? Can they believe
they can
in the suit?
I think they can.
Believe after the 0-9 start, he was losing faith.
Quit talking about the past, man.
No, the past is 0-9.
He got the motivational. The I'm telling you, the motivational speaker. I mean, Chris Farley's got nothing on us. I am a motivational speaker. What was the character's name? The van down by the river guy, Chris Farley?
Oh, I forgot what his name was. But
Foley? Wasn't his name Foley?
Something Foley. It was good.
Matt Foley?
Yes, it is.
My name is Matt Foley. I am a motivational speaker. That's one of the best.
Like I said, I like the board this week. I mean, Oklahoma State getting 6.5, it may be 6 now against Texas. I think that's an interesting game. You know, Texas is a good team, but I think Oklahoma State is a pretty good team too, so I think that'll be a good one.
What is Oklahoma State ranked?
Well, they've just got the one loss. Yeah, they lost to TCU. Yeah. That was a big game. That, you know, I was because but we were in Dallas. A lot of people were watching TCU.
It's a back and forth game.
It was a back and forth game. It was actually head to head up going on while the Alabama game was going on with Tennessee. So most of us were focusing on Alabama, not watching the TCU. But down in Dallas, a few people were very interested in that game.
Some top 25 games. Obviously, Tennessee's playing UT Martin. There's not even a line for that because
probably like
Tennessee.
50.
Yeah, Tennessee is the heavy favorite in Knoxville. Ohio.
Like you may have a problem if you're like, find me a line. I gotta have a line on that game.
Ohio State hosts Iowa. Ohio State a 30-point favorite at home against Iowa. Now, I'm curious of this game, and I want to know your guys' thoughts. Syracuse Clemson. It's at Clemson, but Syracuse 6-0. Undefeated in ACC, 3-0 in the ACC. They're a 14-point dog on the road at Clemson.
That's D-Mason's
underdog. That was my underdog pick.
Yeah.
I like Syracuse. I like their defense, man.
Their defense
is one of the top-ranked defenses in the country.
The first time I ever saw Uyunglele play, wasn't that the game against Syracuse that
last year?
No, it was a couple years ago when Trevor Lawrence got hurt. And he had to come off the bench. And Syracuse was right in it.
Yes,
until the very, very end. Yeah, Clemson still won.
They pulled it out at the end. Clemson did.
Mm-hmm. That was a very interesting. So Syracuse has got a little confidence when they play. And they're actually a pretty good team. And they beat Clemson in Syracuse on a Thursday night not too long ago. That was.
Was that last year?
Was that the year before or the year after? I'm trying to remember. The years are running together for me. Might be a little further ago, but it's not like Syracuse has never beat Clemson. They've had some success, some close games, and this is the best team they've had in a while, it looks like.
Yeah. Good test. I think so.
And Clemson cannot lose.
Oh, they can't afford to lose.
They can't go into the deal with one loss and say, hey, you know, we still won the ACC, put us in the playoff. I don't think they can afford it. I think they need perfection because the league isn't quite as deep. And I think it is tough to go undefeated. You know, the in college football, that's the great drama of college football is when you feel like you got to be perfect. It's a great drama to watch unfold from afar. And there's still a lot of teams that haven't lost. But you watch. It's, you know, some of them start playing
like
each other.
UCLA.
But upsets start happening. Yeah.
Who does UCLA play this week? Oregon.
Yep.
Well, UCLA's undefeated.
Yep. And Oregon has the one loss. They got destroyed by Georgia. Right,
yeah, so that's a big game out of the Pac-10, Pac-12.
UCLA, Oregon, I think is going to be a heck of a game. UCLA,
the Chip Kelly Bowl,
6.5. Yeah, the Chip Kelly Bowl. You're right. Yeah, it's a good way to put it. His return to Eugene,
with actually a decent team.
You know, one that in the American Conference that I'm intrigued by just for betting purposes, Memphis. Not the best Memphis team that they've had in a while, but 4-3. They're getting 7 on the road at Tulane. Tulane, a top 25 team.
Wow.
How about Tulane?
Tulane?
A few years ago, they were like the dregs.
The laughing
The dregs. They've done a pretty good job down there.
What do you guys think of Alabama coming off the loss to Tennessee? They host Mississippi State Saturday night, 21-point favorite at home. Mississippi State at 5-2. I mean, that offense, the Pirates
they're
had
dangerous.
It working.
When they got it working, they're tough.
I think I'd take the points.
That's it.
Now, I think Alabama's going to win.
Alabama's going to beat them by 21 points.
You do?
Yeah.
You think it's just kind of a
you
think
that
revenge
been pissed off all week?
I think Nick Saban's upset.
Okay.
And I think Bryce Young going to have one of those days.
And then one more, TCU in the top eight, undefeated, -3.5, taking on Kansas State. And they're at home. They're in Fort Worth. Kansas State, no slouch at 5-1, 3-0 in the Big 12. 3.5. That's going to be a good game, too. TCU's going to lose. They're not going to factor into this.
I'll be honest. I have not watched those two teams play, but it's a great example. There's some teams, there's some swing games, right, where these are when it's all pretty much conference games now, and you got two teams putting together a pretty good year. You're 5-1 versus 6-0, or 5-1 versus 5-1. These are the games that make or break your season.
Well,
you just got corrected, by the way. Gator Tim, that was a different quarterback that beat Syracuse. I forget his name. He was
that wasn't
it wasn't DJ.
It wasn't DJ.
Uh-uh. I forget who it was. He left. He transferred.
Oh, he went to.
Because Trevor, what took school? His, I think he, Trevor took his job.
He took his job and he went to. Gosh, he was starting quarterback at another Power Five.
I don't
five.
Think that's true. I got to challenge my yes. man on that. I got to go back.
You're talking
and look
like
at the
3 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago.
Trevor
the guy
Lawrence
that
got her
left.
Yeah,
Kelly, what's his name? Was Kelly. The guy that left? But that's yeah. not. I don't think that's what happened in the game I'm thinking of. But I could.
But
be
I don't
wrong.
Think it was DJ.
You don't think it was DJ?
No.
Didn't Kelly go to Notre Dame?
We're going
to
look this up.
We'll look
I
this up
look
during
this
the
up.
Break. We'll look this up during the break. Coming up next, we will get to our best shots of the week plus the trivia question. But, Willie, you have a word about Lone Pronto.
Man, I was just going to look up Clemson versus – now I
got this. I got this.
Okay, help me out on that. I will tell people about Lone Pronto. Lone Pronto has some great things going, including the HELOC program that they're working right now. If you don't want to do the full refi – Lone Pronto has the ability to get you the equity line of credit in an express form. They call it the Express Equity Line of Credit Program from Lone Pronto. It's great. You can keep your low mortgage rate that you have currently. If you like your low mortgage rate, you can still get cash out. You don't have to do a full refi. You can tap a small portion of the equity you have and enjoy the rate. So you can take that cash, pay off the high interest credit cards you might have or any other bills that just need to be addressed. You can consolidate other debt, pay off a car, start a home improvement project, anything that you might need it for. With Lone Pronto, you can access up to 95% of your home's equity, and 9 out of 10 homeowners won't even need an appraisal. It's a streamlined, all-digital process. So give them a call. Lone Pronto, 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780, or go to lonepronto.com. Equal housing lender. NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.
Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason, Willie Donick with you.
I stand corrected.
You do.
Who is it, Gator Tim?
Yep.
Gator Tim, I got to tip my hat. You were right.
It was before DJ. It was Chase Bryce, who's now,
Chase
at,
Bryce.
Now at Appalachian State.
Wow. He's still playing.
Yeah. So Trevor Lawrence gets hurt. Chase Bryce, who was a true freshman at the time, comes in, and Clemson ends up winning the game. It was a great game. I want to say, was that Dino Babers' first year? Might have been.
Good question.
First
but
or second
it
year.
Was the year 2018. It was the year Clemson ended up perfect, 15-0 national title with Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback.
Yep. So there you go.
So not too long ago, but I thought it was Mr. Uyunglele.
Do you have a trivia question?
Of course.
Okay.
And so we have a really good prize.
Fits
right?
in the tantrums.
Fits in the tantrums.
Oh
those
man, I like them.
The line. We'll do this. We'll take it.
I
off
can
the
make
air.
Your hands clap.
You've of course you can. Fits in the tantrums. Brooklyn Bowl on Tuesday, February 14th. So Valentine's Day.
Okay. So here is the quick – got to be quick. We're running out of time. Don't have much time. Let's have a quick hitter today. 615-737-1025. So Clemson went undefeated in 2018 all the way through, 15-0. Next year they lost one game in 2019. Who was it to in the national championship game? 615-737-1025. If you get it, you go to Fits in the Tantrums. 2018, Clemson undefeated national champion. 2019, they get to the final again. They lose in the last game. Who was it to in the national title game? Game played on January 13th, 2020, pre-pandemic. 615-737-1025.
Let's get to our best shots of the week.
So, there's too many other things to talk about.
Yeah. Too many other things to talk about. The Vols.
Who rings MD?
Chris Collinsworth.
I'm just saying.
Just supporting
I'm just
the sponsors.
Saying.
Just
supporting hey,
the
we're
sponsors.
Just supporting the sponsors. That's all, Jay.
You want to bring Blue Chew back while we're at it?
Oh, man. All right, Jason.
Do you have limp microphones?
You might. No, let's go. All let's right. go. Cause all right. Yes.
Other funding includes a 1% tax on local hotel room rentals in Davidson County, along with sales taxes collected within the new stadium, and a generous donation by former Titans wide receiver Derek Mason.
Whoa!
That damn sure ain't gonna happen.
That's a scoop from Teron.
Teron, I don't know who you got that from.
I just wanted to see.
But remember, they don't have as many parking spaces over there.
Well, we've already established you're parking on the river.
Yeah, you're parking on the river. We're parking on the river, people.
You'll be in a van down by the river.
We balance things out here on
the have to, man. Yeah. You can't just jump straight into politics.
We can't get too much in the weeds.
Listen to this text. This is interesting. Unnamed texter. I know you're not a music station, but we wouldn't be mad if you played the whole song.
Okay.
Taking your request.
DJ Max
7371025. DJ Max
on the ones and twos. Back at you.
The suits met. The two suits talked.
Very briefly.
Briefly.
It was good. But, you know, I mean, look, it's kind of like, you know, when the president of our country and the president of, like, you know, Norway, you know, they kind of meet each other for a minute. You know, it's just like, hey, how we
mutual,
doing?
Yeah. Mutual respect. Hey, yeah, what's like going that. On? How like you that. Doing? What's been happening? How's your country? My country's doing well. How's your country? Hey, we making it. Hey, same old.
This is NATO.
What's the half on the craps?
Hey, same old, man. We got the same problems y'all got, but just on a smaller scale.
Yeah.
You know? So.
You talk about it. You tell the players. You remind them of it, for crying out loud. You do the last one. You don't blow this one, you stillhead. So never mind pussyfooting around the subject. Never mind trying to avoid it. You're going into the third period. You damn well remind them that, hey, you don't blow two in a row like that. You don't do it. Hal Gill's right. Willie's right. The only thing that I think that you get with your Willie with the on was, oh, yeah, with 6 minutes to go, oh, good, we got a shutout going. That's worth a shutout. That, Willie, that'll really get you in trouble, Willie.
Oh,
I'll
big
tell you
time.
Right now.
Big time.
That one will get you.
Willie, you got a new mic stand.
Woo! Oh, okay.
Oh, my goodness. What a way to start the Friday.
He didn't even know.
It stays
my
up.
My right
he didn't
arm
even know.
Is very
It stays
thankful.
Up.
It's okay. Good. It's good that it's
good
not
going to fall down.
It's good tension.
Have
we
good
like
tension,
that.
Firm, ready to go.
I love it.
Absolutely.
That's how we end the week. We end the week in style with that.
Oh, what a huge lift.
It is a huge lift.
We needed a lift.
There you go. All right, that very well done. Shots of the week. Nick Kieser, the rookie, has you talk about me getting momentum when it comes to my TaylorMade picks. Nick Kieser's gotten momentum when it comes to the to the best shots. He's done a very good job.
Very good job. I like that. We also have a winner in the trivia question.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
We're talking about Clemson and Syracuse, and so we were going back through the annals. I had, as Roger Clemens would say, misremembered what happened in a previous Clemson-Syracuse game, but we were looking at the stats. Clemson had the perfect season in 2018, 2019. It was perfect up until they ran into Joe Burrow and the LSU Tigers.
That's right.
And honestly, that game was almost like a mismatch. It was unbelievable how much more talented and deep LSU ended up being than that great Clemson team that had won all those games.
There you go.
So somebody, who's going to Fits in the Tantrums, Nick?
His name is Mark, and he's going to be taking his wife because it'll be her birthday.
Oh, isn't that nice. Congratulations.
Well done, Mark.
Nice job, buddy.
I like it. Well, it's been a fun week for sure. Lots to unpack. We're here on Monday starting at 10, but don't go anywhere. Stillman and Company, they're going to get you set for Titans and Colts and the big weekend of sports. I'm sure that Jared will have crazy. He's got his playoff machine that he's already been going through, so he's been looking at that. So that's all coming up next. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace back at you Monday at 10, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
We out.
Have a great day, guys. Enjoy the sunshine.